Yes, sir.
Hi, this is Cheston.
Hello, Cheston.
I have a question of sorts that involves, it's a two-part question. It involves the same topic, so I'll try to make it brief. But before I started the program, my wife had already decided to begin the paperwork for the dissolution and divorce of our marriage. And I had made a promise to her before I started this program that I would give her whatever she wants in order to make her happy, which includes not only the space, you know, so I moved out a month ago, but you know, includes also the, I promised I would sign the paperwork when she delivers it to me. And I'm trying to see, you know, how does that, keeping this promise helpful, basically agreeing to help end our marriage, you know, what are my options? And I can't break that promise, but I can't see how that would be a good promise to keep as well.
Right. So, okay, I got your question. I think that, Cheston, you're actually asking even a bigger question than you realize, I think. But that's okay. It's a good one, and I'm going to give you as comprehensive an answer as I can. And many of you are dealing with somewhat similar situations, so it's a very good topic. Let's break this down into two parts. First, let me say that, generally speaking, of course, when you make a promise, it's very important to follow through with it. And that's why you should be so careful about the promises that you make. You want to make sure they're on target and that they're things that you can follow through with. So you're right. I'm glad to hear that you're approaching that with great trepidation, because it's very important to follow through with things that you say you're going to do. And therefore, it's with great trepidation that I say the following. As much as it's important to try in almost all cases to follow through with your promises, sometimes there are times in life where you come to realize that, you know, something that you said you were going to do was a mistake. I mean, you made a mistake. You shouldn't have said you were going to do it. Let me just offer a quick analogy. You know, if in business, you know, you say that you're going to offer somebody a certain product or service at a certain price, and, you know, there comes a time where, for whatever reason, market changes or cost structures have changed, and you're no longer able to offer it at that price, or it doesn't make sense for you to offer at that price, it would be a mistake to offer it at that price. I mean, are you supposed to continue to sell the product at that price because you agreed to it before? I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, if you have a contractual obligation, of course, that's a different story. But things, you know, things change, and if things change, and it no longer is prudent for you, it would be a mistake for you to follow through with a certain promise, then you shouldn't follow through with the promise. Again, it's with great trepidation that I say this. It's very rare that I say this, because for the most part, you know, you will hear me talk about the importance of integrity and follow through and keeping a promise and making and keeping promises, and never, you know, in other contexts, you will hear me say that, you know, the importance of doing that. And by the way, I think that that value is worth preserving, even when it might not be, even when the following through might not be in your best interest, as long as what you're following through with doesn't violate a value. You know, like you know, let's come back to the business example for a moment, right? You know, if you enter into an agreement with somebody and you say you're going to do something, and you later realize that it's not, you know, it's not going to be the best transaction for you to do it, should you follow through and do it, you know, nonetheless? Well, I would say actually it depends. If it's going to bankrupt you and your family is going to be out on the street and not be able to eat, so then, no, you shouldn't. But if it's just a matter of you wanting to make more money this year, if it's just a matter of you not wanting to lose in the transaction, well, that's not a good excuse. that's not a good explanation. That's not a good justification. That's not a good reason. You should follow through with the agreement nonetheless. So in this case, though, and now I'll come to really the main point, none of you should participate in any aspect of a mediation, a separation, or a divorce agreement voluntarily. You shouldn't do it. It should be a violation of your values. You are married men and women, committed to your marriage, committed to your family, committed to your spouse. That should be a value of paramount importance. And it should be a violation of your values to contribute to a process that is leading to the demise or the destruction of your marriage. And instead, your time and your energy should be devoted to rebuilding your family, rebuilding your marriage. And so you should refuse to participate in any aspect of that process. And that's not a small thing. That's not like losing a few dollars. I mean, that, if you do end up participating in any aspect of that process, that should be, in my opinion, that should be a sacrifice, a compromise of your values that is, untenable. I mean, it should just be, you can't allow that to happen. And therefore, Justin, with your situation, it's never a good idea to go back on a promise. It's never a good idea. But sometimes you have to do it. I mean, sometimes in life, if you come to realize that the promise you made was just a gigantic mistake, that fulfilling it would be a violation of everything you believe in, and sometimes you have to go to that person and say, look, you know, I take my word very seriously. I know I made a promise. I had every intention of following through, but, you know, I didn't realize what was at stake here. I didn't realize the mistake that I was making. Now I realize it, and just because I made the promise doesn't mean I'm going to follow through and make even a bigger mistake than it would be to go back on the promise. And so in this unusual example, I think you need to go back on the promise and maintain your integrity to that value, and not compromise that principle. And it's not like, you know, let me just respond to a common follow-up question. Well, my wife will think that I'm being controlling. You're not being controlling. That's ridiculous. This is America, not Iran. You can't force her to remain married to you. If she wants to divorce you, she can't. But your message to her is, don't ask me to help you. I can't have this on my conscience. I can't be a part of this process. Now, keep in mind, this is America, and at some point in the process, if things don't turn around, at some point in the process, you will be legally obligated. You'll have a responsibility to perform certain acts, to do certain things in the process. Don't misunderstand what I'm advising. When you have a legal obligation to show up somewhere or to submit certain documents or whatever the case may be, you should comply. You should absolutely comply. But you should not volunteer. You should not take the initiative to participate in the process. And it's a matter of principle. Here's another important point. It's not a matter of, I'm not trying to help you get what you want. And it's not a matter of you wanting this and your wife wants that, and it's a power struggle. It's not a matter of what you want. It's a matter of principle. Now, it turns out, by the way, that adhering yourself to that principle will help you get what you want, because I certainly don't want you contributing to the divorce process for a number of reasons. First of all, everybody wants a partner in crime. And in other words, it's, you know, logistically the whole process is a difficult, time-consuming process. And if I've got a partner in walking through it with me, it's just easier to get through with somebody else. It's quite a logistical burden for somebody to try to, you know, drive that whole process by themselves. dealing with somebody who is only responding when they're legally compelled to do so. So I certainly, you know, tactically speaking, it's an advantage to not participate in the process in that sense. But that's not why I'm advising it. Also, by the way, tactically speaking, it's also a very helpful stance to take, because your spouse will want you to contribute to the process and to concede to the process because it helps clear their conscience, right? In other words, they want to be able to say, Cheston and I agreed. We are getting divorced. We're going to the attorney. We're doing this. We're doing that. If they feel like they have a partner in crime, so that relieves some of the burden from their conscience. They don't feel so much like they're the bad guy. They feel like at least, you know, you're in this with them. Whereas if you refuse, which you should, to participate in any aspect of the process, now they have to bear that burden completely on their own. And very few people can do that, by the way. It's not an easy thing. The burden on people's conscience, especially if there's kids involved, that, you know, they're driving this whole divorce process while they're dealing with a spouse who's committed to them, who's in a marriage fitness program and trying to work on the marriage, who's obviously demonstrating phenomenal changes, who's reaching out and trying to connect with them, who's killing them with kindness and being loving and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you're looking at a spouse that's doing all that and they're dealing with divorce attorneys. I mean, there are some people that can do it, but not many. The vast majority of people, they can't handle that in their conscience. They might handle it for a few weeks or a few months, expecting their spouse to cave and concede to the divorce process. But when you don't, it becomes very difficult for them to continue to drive that process and bear all that burden on their conscience. So that's the second tactical reason why it's a very advantageous position to take. But again, I want to say that I'm not advising it because of those tactical advantages. I'm advising it very simply because it's the right thing to do, because it should be a violation of your values to participate in that process, and I don't want you to compromise your integrity. And being a man or a woman of principle and maintaining your integrity is something that makes you more attractive. Actually, now I'm going back to the tactical reason. I'm going to a third tactical reason, right? In the short term, this will frustrate your spouse. But in the long term, it will actually make you more attractive to your spouse because you're taking a principle-centered stand. Let me say something else just by way of explanation. And for those of you that might actually be having a conversation with your spouse, explaining your position to them, what I'm about to say might be helpful. Imagine that your spouse comes to you and asks you to join them on a plot to murder your neighbor. Would you do it? Of course not. But why? Why wouldn't you do it? Not because you don't love them. It's not because you're stubborn. It's not because you're dogmatic. It's not because you're inflexible. It's not because you're unaccommodating. It's not because you have to have things your way. It has nothing to do with any of that. You wouldn't do it because it's wrong, because it crosses a line. It's a matter of principle. So too here, Cheston. Your wife is coming to you asking you to join her in a plot to murder your marriage. And you don't have a choice. You are compelled to say, no, I'm sorry, I wish I could help. I hope you're demonstrating to her in all sorts of other ways how flexible you are and how accommodating you are and how helpful you are. But here she's making a request that crosses a line that you just can't cross. It's a matter of principle. I can't emphasize that enough. If you end up having this conversation with your spouse because they're demanding an explanation, this is what you need to explain to them. It's not a matter of what I want versus what you want, honey. The problem is not me. The problem is the principle. It's like, imagine in the example that I gave about your spouse inviting you to join them in a plot to murder your neighbor. Imagine that you hated the neighbor also and wanted him dead as well. Just imagine that for a second. So in other words, you and your wife want the same thing. Now would you do it? No. You wouldn't, even though you want the same thing. So too here, it's not a matter of you not wanting the same things. It's a matter of principle. And so that's what you should do, Justin. You should completely change your paradigm here and try to be helpful and accommodating to your wife in every way that you possibly can. But when she makes a request that crosses a line, as this one does, you're compelled to say no. And even if that means going back on a previous commitment, which is not ideal, but it's a commitment you shouldn't have made to begin with, you made a mistake, you need to correct that mistake.